All right, so Seth and I went and did the work for you. If you're somebody who's into sports documentaries and as they come out, and there's more now than ever. You can find a documentary a day if you want to.
There's money in them thar hills, they realize.
100%, 100%. Yeah. So the Brett Favre documentary, Fall of Favre, came out over the weekend, and it's on Netflix. It's 1 hour and 3 minutes long. It is a quick and very easy watch, I would say. And I would say, Seth, overall, and we're going to go into the details here. I've got my scumbag power rankings from this deal. I would say overall, given that it's only 1 hour, I would recommend it. If you're, you know, if you're into Brett Favre, if you're a football fan, it's worth a watch.
My big test with a lot of these is, okay, is this just a rehashing of a bunch of stuff I already know?
Yeah.
And by and large, a lot of this was rehashing stuff you already knew. But as it laid out the Jen Sturger situation, the woman that worked for the New York Jets that Brett Favre was very persistent with in pursuing, there were some things that I had either forgotten or didn't know at all.
Yeah.
That were kind of alarming. And the way the documentary lays it out, at least it's pretty damning.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
I don't think it's not really in contention about whether he did or didn't do anything now. It's more, you can look back on it with some perspective.
Yeah. No, there's nothing alleged about his behavior. Like it's all, I mean, yeah. There's voicemail messages. Like he didn't run from the fact that it was his unit on that picture that got sent to her and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they did a good job in the first 10 or 15 minutes of laying out just exactly how entitled Brett Favre became in Green Bay, because one, they hadn't had success as a franchise in nearly 30 years. Like they,
right.
Since Super Bowl II, they made the playoffs between Super Bowl II and the early 90s. They made the playoffs twice. That's it.
Yeah, that's
that was
where
a bad
lot of,
franchise.
Yeah, kids wouldn't realize that, you know, if you were born 30 years or less ago, that there was a long stretch of the Packers just being kind of a joke, you know,
yes.
Just a faint and distant memory of what they once were.
2 10-win seasons in a 24-season period. They were bad. They were awful. They were the Cleveland Browns, basically. I would say like two-thirds of this doc, two-thirds to, it felt like 75%. It felt like a majority of it was the Jen Sturger saga. The girl
Jen Sturger, yeah. With a good dose of the welfare fraud as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that was the welfare fraud was sort of the dessert to
alleged.
The Jen Sturger. Yeah, sorry, alleged appetizer. Boy, a lot of smoke, though. A lot of smoke.
We have to be careful about it because Brett Favre will come after
if
you don't say alleged.
I mean, very,
you know,
litigious.
As Pat McAfee found out.
The Jen Sturger, right. Yeah, McAfee and a few others. Yeah, so the Jen Sturger part, I thought the interesting things about this were,
well, and just to lay it all out, yeah. Just for a lot of people that might not remember,
yeah.
The Jen Sturger was an employee, worked for the Jets, did stadium interviews, stuff like that, yeah. Attractive young woman, and Brett Favre just started sending her text messages over and over again, and then ultimately a picture of his, an inappropriate picture.
Inappropriate picture, yeah. And her claim to fame, like her rise to fame started with her popping up on a shot at a Florida. She went to Florida State and she's in a bikini top at the game cheering. The camera catches her. Brent Musburger mentions her and she's off to the races after that. So she worked for SI.com. She went viral. She posed for Maxim and Playboy. I thought the funny thing was, Seth, was how in the they went back and played some footage of 2007 of some shows like Entertainment Tonight and stuff like that. Like she has 4,000 followers on Facebook.
She maxed out her Facebook. Like, whoa, yeah.
That was a big deal. Parts here.
Yeah, the first time Favre reached out to her, I think it was on MySpace.
It was a burner MySpace account.
Yeah.
So that's how long ago this was. The other thing was, man, the Jets, what a bleep show that place was. In terms of handling the harassment, in terms of her job description, she would say she'd show up at the stadium with really no rundown from anybody. Just show
right.
up and do whatever you want. Yeah.
Which I actually, like on the social media side of things, that was when everything was brand new and nobody knew what the hell was.
Yeah.
So I think they were throwing stuff against the wall.
Yeah.
That side of it I get.
Yeah.
Her making multiple complaints and the Jets doing absolutely nothing about
we got
it.
This.
Not even addressing
yeah.
the issue. Yeah. Somebody had given her personal number to Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You know, somebody from the organization gave him her phone number.
Yeah.
And the thing that I didn't realize the entire time, like to lay it all out, is that they never actually had even met. Favre just started sending these texts out of the blue and she thought she was getting catfished at first.
Yeah.
And he just kept at it.
Then he left a voicemail and she said, unless this is a Brett Favre impersonator, a really good impersonator, yeah, this is definitely him that's harassing me right now.
Yeah.
She would, or he, They also interviewed this fellow by the name of Tim Andre, who was assigned to her on game days to sort of be her quasi-security on game days. And he, again, the Jets, he's like, I have no background in security. They just handed me to her, and I'm walking around with her. He said that Favre would come down the tunnel to run onto the field before games and stare her down. And he was like, dude, you got a ball game to go play right now. Like, he could tell that, you could see the obsession in his eyes just running onto the field and catching a glimpse of her.
And the weird, weird thing about it is that she looks a lot like his wife.
It paints
a weird picture of just him being in New York all alone. But then just persistently, propositioning her and everything, and then sending an inappropriate picture. Like, that's where it really just goes into, DEFCON 1.
Yes.
Is without still ever having met her or talked to her or anything, just things like, oh, this is how I get her attention this time.
Yeah.
This
job,
like, relatively unimpressive, not one way or the other about it, just my bland and generic, WRC plus of 100, inappropriate picture.
His
expected batting average in any given ballpark, probably about average.
Yes. His wiener plus was 100, that's all. I thought it was interesting, too. They talked about Brett Favre's dad a little bit in this documentary, who apparently was very overbearing. He was a coach growing up.
Never gave him a compliment, that type of stuff. Old school.
Old school stuff. But they said in this documentary, Brett Favre, who already lived a pretty wild lifestyle when his dad was alive, that when his dad died, the guardrails were kind of removed and it got worse. And I thought I found that interesting because this is the third documentary I can think of in the last few years where that's a huge thing. Tiger Woods, Aaron Hernandez, and Brett Favre. What do they have in common? But it's true. It was a big theme of all three of their stories.
I don't know if that part of it didn't. I didn't buy that because he had his painkiller addiction in 94 through 97.
Yeah.
His dad died in 2003.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Green Bay media members interviewed in this piece would have it that Brett Favre was always living like Brett Favre.
Yeah.
I think the biggest difference was he got outside of Green Bay and in an area where, like, he wasn't going to get away with anything and everything.
Yeah.
And the guardrail that he lost in actuality was probably just that he left Green Bay.
Yep.
And all of a sudden he was a big fish in a huge pond as opposed to being a big fish in a tiny little smallest market size in the NFL pond.
Real quick, before I get to the scumbag power rankings of this documentary, because they're plentiful, we do get a text from somebody who's a younger listener. Like, I had no idea they were this bad, the Packers, ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they've been good. They've been good and relevant since Favre got there in 1992. I think they must be looking up the numbers. They were horrible. Oh.
The one other thing about how badly the Jets handled it.
Yeah.
They had two massage therapists. This is sounding familiar to anybody. Two massage therapists. Now, these massage therapists worked for the Jets.
Yeah.
These two massage therapists complained about Brett Favre being inappropriate. The massage therapists were fired. And as far as we can tell, it was never brought up to Brett Favre. So this was the old school, just star quarterback is going to get away with anything and anything. This is the organization. For those things that they tried to say about the Texans, where they tried to link him to the Houstonian because of the Texans, et cetera.
Yeah, Deshaun,
that was always just, that was BS.
Mm-hmm.
No, this was the team firing two employees who made complaints about Brett Favre.
Yeah. It makes you wonder what all he got away with in Green Bay. These were the things he was attempting to get away with in New York, like what's the mountain of things that he was able to steer clear of getting punished for in Green Bay? Not even punished for by the team, but maybe even just like, punished for, like, out and about socially, like, you know.
Yeah.
Just all right, so here's my power rankings, the scumbag power rankings. Number five, Prevacus. Am I pronouncing that right?
I think it's Prevacus.
Prevacus. Okay. The concussion cure-all drug that Favre was an investor in that eventually ran out of money, so allegedly they had to take some of that welfare cheddar from Mississippi to kind of keep the dream alive, I guess.
That was one of the big lump sums of possibly illegal funds on behalf of Brett Favre. I think that was $2 million, right? That
they I think the volleyball facility was $1.1 million, and I think Prevacus might have been
$2 $1.1 to Brett Favre personally for appearances.
Is that what it was? Okay, yeah.
That he never made.
I lost track of all the money.
No, I think it was a bigger it was a bigger chunk to the volleyball team. It was multi-millions.
Yeah, because they're building
the
facility.
Yeah, so they had this. By the way, Sean, Prevacus also got tagged for overstating the benefit of the drug. A surprise
you
to
don't
you or
say.
Not. Yeah. Yeah, that was all part of it too. It was like they overstated just how magical this concussion drug was.
So that's number five, Prevacus. Number four, the New York Jets. And I think we've outlined it pretty well here. Nice work environment, Johnson family. Holy crap. Woman goes and complains about Brett Favre harassing her. Her contract does not get renewed the following year. Massage therapist, as you just outlined, Seth, fired. When they complained about Brett Favre,
just a whiz bang job there, PR HR department.
Yeah, everything you could think of about the Jets. Number three, Irv Favre, Brett's dad, sounds like kind of an a-hole. Sorry, I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but he's been dead for a long time, and this documentary does not do him any favors. Peter King was saying that he would talk to Irv Favre after games, and Favre could have gone 27 for 35 for 325 yards. Three touchdowns and an interception. I think it was Peter King. It was either Peter King or Bill Michaels, the Green Bay commentary guy. And Favre could put up all these numbers, but the one interception, Irv would be like, yeah, can't believe he didn't see that safety back there on that interception.
Yeah, nothing's ever good enough. Yeah. It came off kind of sounding like, I don't know, like Favre had this really tough taskmaster father who was just, you know, never really showing a lot of appreciation for him or anything like that.
Yep.
And yet at the same time, I don't think it had the effect on, I like trying to paint him like some Tiger Woods type of character where it was when his father died or his father died that everything went off the rails.
Yeah.
Favre, the reason he didn't get drafted in the first round, the reason Atlanta wanted to trade him was that he was always off the rails.
Yeah.
There was never it wasn't like he was just kind of off the rails and that he got away with being off the rails for a long time before it finally just kind of folded over on top of itself.
All right, number two, AJ DeLorio, the editor of Deadspin back in the day, who basically took an off the record conversation he was having with Jen Sturger about the Brett Favre situation, about the wiener pick, and said, oh, I'm running with this. I'm going to do this story. And she's like, please don't. And he's like, nope, I'm going to go do this story. And that's what blew the lid off of the whole Favre thing. Like it was a very, very sensational story. Like,
well, because people were wondering, it came out 3 years after the fact.
Yeah.
And so immediately, you know, people started saying that Jen Sturger's got an agenda or whatever. It ended up destroying her career.
Yes.
You know, or at the very least, I'm guessing it was probably really hard for her to work while just getting constantly attacked online and everything.
Yep.
But she, like, the way she tells it, and it seems to be backed up by DeLorio, is that she was kind of having a casual conversation with him via email or chat, and she just thought it would be off the record. That's where him not being an actual journalist, but just being kind of a whatever the hell Deadspin was going to run with it.
Yeah.
As soon as he got a sniff of it, she asked him not to use it, and he said, nope, I'm going with it.
If you're wondering why were the two of them talking, she was actually starting to do work for Deadspin at the time.
Yeah,
she had written an article that got huge hits, a freelance article, and so Deadspin had hired her at the time, and then DeLorio runs with that. He's number two. Number one is Brett Favre in a landslide. And obviously, the documentary's about him. He didn't accept an interview for the documentary. There were a lot of people on his side of things that said no to talking about this thing. But using a burner MySpace page to hit Jen Sturger up, turns out he, as Seth mentioned, harassed massage therapists, allegedly.
Yeah.
Just how creepy...
Allegedly misappropriated funds from Mississippi's welfare funds. That's still ongoing, so it's still alleged. But there are, was it 11 people that have been found guilty?
It's a lot.
In the cloud of people around Brett Favre there.
There's like six that have gone to prison, something like that. And Favre has managed to avoid it. This is my easiest way to sum this up, the creepiness of Brett Favre in this thing, is that you could remove the whole picture out of the whole thing, like that whole, like him texting a picture of his junk to her.
Yeah.
You could remove that. You could, like, that could never have happened. And it still is 1,000% creepy on his part, the stuff he was doing. Hitting her up on MySpace, leaving voicemail messages, inviting her to his hotel. They'd never met inviting her to his hotel when they'd never met before. Like, that is some creepy stuff. And then you add the picture on top of it.
It is amazing, though, too, because now you're 20 years removed from this.
Yeah.
And, or wait, what year was the actual?
He was with the Jets in 2008.
2008. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, 17 years removed from this. And, it's like NFL teams have changed a lot. The Jets, it looks like they didn't even have an HR department.
Right.
And sports teams are relatively small organizations. You'd be amazed how many of them are very much run just like a mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
Despite being a billion-dollar entity.
Yep.
That part of it, at least, it would be handled, I think, a lot differently. Now, having said that, when it's a star quarterback, I don't know. Everything's a lot of things get bent for the starting quarterback.
Text message: the dead can't hear you. You're safe, Sean. Thank you. I appreciate that, texter. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Headlines coming up next. Let's circle back. Astros big stretch coming up here. Got to make hay on this homestand here. They got six games coming up at home. NBA playoffs last night. Somebody allowed back into the game tonight in the NBA playoffs that we'll get to in headlines as well. We'll do all that coming up next.